The Lone Ranger. A cloud of dust and a hearty high-o silver. The Lone Ranger. Yes, when you hear that galloping horse, it's the Lone Ranger. Randy Blake and the 11 who rode with him were much younger than they looked. Randy, the oldest, was only 25, and several of the group had not reached 21. Their faces belied their actual age, because the 12 had been to war. Their uniforms of gray were torn and dirty. The horses, which by terms of the surrender they had been permitted to keep, were travel-tired. Randy and his followers had enlisted as a unit. They had fought heroically and with the fearlessness of youth. Now they were going home to Morgan's Gap in Texas.
Hey, Randy, look ahead. There's the old water hole.
That's where we camp tonight.
Someone's there ahead of us.
One man, he can't drink all the water. There'll be a bloody left for us.
Rain in at the water hole, boys.
Yes, come on.
Tonto, the faithful Indian companion of the Lone Ranger, had paused at the water hole to refill his canteens. He looked up, then raised one hand in a friendly gesture toward the oncoming soldiers. They returned the greeting as they drew rein.
Howdy, Indian. Hope you don't mind if we share this campsite with you.
Oh, me not camp here. Me stop only for water.
Break out the gear, boys. It's our last camp under stars. Tomorrow we'll be home.
Nice horse you got there.
Your horse looked plenty tired.
These poor critters were stove in when we started west. We had better ones, but we swapped with some Union soldiers for these with rifles and ammunition throwing. What's your name?
Me Tonto.
Your back trail points west.
Me come from west. Me turn here, go north. Me friend.
Did you pass through Morgan's Gap?
That's right.
You did? How's it look? Are there any new buildings in the town?
Me not see new buildings.
Did you say you came through town?
That's right.
Hey, boys, here's an Indian that just came from our town.
Did you see a man named Josh Potter?
Ma here still run the cafe?
Have they painted the church?
Hey, maybe you saw my dad. He runs a general store.
The young soldiers, hungry for news of their hometown, crowded around Tonto with countless questions. Tonto gave out all the information he could. Then, at the insistence of the new friends, he remained to share the evening meal. Randy Blake sat beside the Indian. He told of the adventures on the battlefield.
There were 16 of us when we started out. We lost 2 at Vicksburg and 2 at Charlotte.
But we made them pay for the lives of our pals.
Hey, Randy, you remember the send-off they gave us when we left home?
Oh, I'll never forget it.
You should have seen that, Tonto. A band was playing. It was a torchlight parade.
I bet our send-off will be shaded by the welcome we'll get.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, Randy, let's ride into town at top speed with our carbines blazing. Let everyone know we're home.
Sure.
While the soldiers laughingly discussed their return to Morgan's Gap, Tonto left the camp and headed north. He had been apart from the Lone Ranger for several weeks on a mission in behalf of an Indian school. When he joined the masked man in a woodland camp, there was much to talk about. It was nearly midnight when he reached the subject of the meeting with the soldiers. The Lone Ranger listened carefully, then said,
Tonto, those young fellows are returning at just the right time. Their return may prevent an attack on Morgan's Gap.
Who attack Morgan Gap?
The Indians of Big Beaver's village.
Big Beaver attack? Well, him good friend, white people. Him make treaty.
Tonto, a lot has happened in Big Beaver's village since the last time you were there. In the first place, Big Beaver's dead. His son is now the leader of the village.
Oh, son young to be leader.
Yes, he's young and ambitious, and he's restless. He wants to win many honors in battle. I met and talked to old Magwali, the medicine man.
Old Magwali, good Indian.
He's unhappy with the talk of war. Has tried to reason with the young leader. But Little Beaver and about 25 young braves pay no attention to him.
You say maybe return a soldier, stop attack?
Well, the Indians have no firearms. If those young braves know that soldiers with fast-shooting carbines are in Morgan's Gap, they may change their minds about starting trouble.
There are only 12 soldiers.
Enough to make a great difference, Tonto. At present, the only firearms in town are old single-shot rifles and pistols. There are less than a dozen men to use them. Those sharpshooters with repeating rifles can cut down many Indians with bows and arrows.
You tell Magwali about soldier?
Yes. We'll start at daybreak and ride to the village. Old Magwali will be glad to see you again.
At dawn, the Lone Ranger and Tonto broke camp and started north to meet old Magwali, the medicine man. At about the same time, Randy Blake and his followers rode away from the waterhole and headed west. The young soldiers were in high spirits during the last leg of their journey home. They laughed and joked and sang songs as they rode. It was mid-afternoon when they rounded the last bend in the trail and came within view of the town of Morgan's Gap. One of the men let out a rebel yell. The soldiers spurred their horses and cried out in wild exuberance. Several fired their carbines into the air.
Home again.
Here we are.
There's the old livery stable. There's Pop Baker sitting in front.
The livery stable was at the edge of town. Here, the soldiers brought their horses to a halt. Pop Larkin, who ran the business, was seated in his favorite chair in front of the building. He eyed the new arrivals silently and disapprovingly. At first, he made no response to their greetings.
Hi, Pop.
Glad to see you looking the same, Pop.
How are you, Mr. Larkin?
Hey, what's the matter, Pop? Don't you remember us? I'm Randy Blake.
And I'm Hank Turner.
Don't tell me. I remember every one of you. What's the idea of riding into town like a pack of wild Injuns?
Well, gosh, Pop, we...
You've been soldiering. Suppose you figure that gives you the right to blame near kill your horses with hard riding.
Sorry, you're not in the mood to welcome us home.
You figuring to settle down and go to work?
I reckon so.
Hey, here comes Pete Hawkins. Hi there, Mr. Hawkins. How's everything at the bank?
Well, you're the fellas who went to war, huh?
That's right, but now we're home again.
Sam Eastman's boy was killed.
Yes, Mr. Hawkins. Four of our group were killed in battle, and five of us were wounded.
Eastman was a friend of mine. He was badly broken up by the news of his boy's death. Will you hitch my horse and carriage, Pop?
Yeah, sure thing. Right away, Mr. Hawkins.
I have several calls to make on ranching.
Doggone. The banker acted as if we were to blame for Sam Eastman's death.
So far, our welcome home hasn't been what you'd call rousing.
I want to see Ma Harris. Let's go to the cafe.
Hey, now you're talking. Good old Ma Harris. She'll be glad to see we're back in town.
Come on.
Yeah, that's right.
A few of the boys, those whose parents lived in town, went home. The others hurried to Ma Harris's cafe. They found the place well filled. They were greeted cordially by the sober-faced patrons, but there was a lack of enthusiasm in the welcome home. Finally, several of the uniformed men grouped around Ma Harris in a corner of the large room.
I declare, you look as if you could do with some food and some sleep.
Well, we could have that.
And you, Randy Blake, let me look at you. You still have that harum-scarum look in your eyes. War hasn't taken that away.
Ma Harris, what's wrong with us?
Why do you ask?
When we were ready to start out for the war, everyone treated us like, well, like heroes. The best was none too good for us. The town was ours. But now... Now we'd have a hard time barring the price of a meal.
You expected big things by way of a welcome home, didn't you?
Well, we didn't expect people to treat us like strangers.
Well, the war is over, Randy. Everyone is fed up with war. As for you and your friends, well, you were always like a pack of wild young mavericks. You're always stirring up excitement, starting fights and such things. People aren't in any mood for your wild pranks. We've been through hard times here in the cattle country. And as for jobs, well, they're mighty scarce.
So that's it. Everyone's afraid we'll try to take their job.
Yeah, that's it.
Boys, you're wrong.
Boys, our trouble is we're fighting men. When there's fighting to be done, when men are needed to lay down their lives, we're big. We're cheered and praised. But now, we're out of place.
Randy Blake, such talk.
It's the truth. We're not needed any longer. We're not wanted. Well, I, for one, am clearing out.
That's it.
I'm leaving Morgan's Gap for good.
Help me in.
I'll go with you. We'll stick together.
That night, the Lone Ranger and Tonto reached the Indian village far northeast of Morgan's Gap. Under cover of darkness, they went to the medicine man's wigwam, which was set apart from other dwellings. Sitting on the dirt floor, they talked to their friend, old Magwali. The wrinkled old man listened soberly.
And so, Magwally, by this time there are 12 fighting men in Morgan's Gap. And they have good rifles.
Indian bows, arrows, against good rifles. Same as claws of chicken, against great talons of eagle.
The young braves who listen to the son of Beaver may see that it's unwise to attack the white people.
Son of Beaver not know meaning of defeat. Maybe good him learn.
You intend to do nothing to discourage his plans?
At times, young men need counsel of wise old one. Other times, it greater wisdom for old one to keep silent tongue in head. Let young braves ride to battle. Let them know pain of wounds and loneliness. Let them know sting of great defeat.
But some of the Indians will surely die.
That is cost of lesson to others. You say white men able to defend town, able to defeat Indian. That good. Let Indian go, make fight, and learn great lesson that peace is better than war. That is decision of Magwally.
After leaving old Magwally, the wise man of the Indian village, the Lone Ranger and Tonto rode to the tree-covered side of a hill where, unseen by the Indians, they could watch developments. After several days, they wakened at daybreak to the sound of war drums.
That's it, Tonto. The beginning of the war dance.
Son of Beaver go through with plans.
Watch Magwally's wigwam. He promised to send a message when the war drum sounded. I'll start breaking camp.
Magwally come from wigwam.
Let me know what he does.
He spread bright red cloth on wigwam.
That means Morgan's Gap. Saddle Scout and Silver, I'll roll the blankets.
Oh, that's plenty time. War dance lasts many hours.
Yes, that's true. But we want to give the people in the Gap as much time as possible to prepare for the attack.
Scout and Silver knew that it was time to move and whinnied in their eagerness for action. The fire was extinguished, the gear packed, the blankets rolled and tied behind the saddles. Then, with a last quick glance around the campsite, the Lone Ranger gathered up his reins.
Ready, Tonto?
Uh-huh. Be ready.
Easy, steady, big fella. One, two, three.
Throughout the day, the masked man and Tonto traveled steadily, with only the briefest of rests for their strong horses. As twilight deepened at the Indian village, the war dance of the eager Indians reached a climax. The rhythm of the drums was broken by a wild cry. The son of Beaver waved his spear and leaped to the back of his pony. 23 young braves followed, and the wild race on the warpath started. Later, the Lone Ranger stood beside the horses in the darkness behind the cafe. He had been there but a few moments when Tonto and Ma Harris came out the rear door and hurried forward.
Oh, there's plenty of trouble now, Kemosabe.
This Indian said you knew of an attack. What sort of... Your mask.
Soldiers all gone from town.
You must be Ma Harris.
That I am, but you
I have heard of you. Mrs. Harris, where are the soldiers?
They left town a couple of days ago. They were here only one night. They left in the morning on a horse hunting expedition.
Where'd they go?
A valley west of here. There's said to be a lot of horses living there. Work horses that strayed from abandoned ranches.
Yes, I know the place.
Mister, that's
now, please listen to me. Indians are planning to attack Morgan's Gap. They may arrive any time within the next 24 hours. You'd better spread the word so the men will be ready to defend the town.
Men? Sakes alive, what men? There's only a few able-bodied men left in Morgan's Gap.
Then the women must help. Get together all the rifles.
Rifles? They're scarcer than the men. All the rifles were collected years ago and sent to General Lee. We have a few six guns and shotguns, but that's about all.
All right, do what you can. I'll try to bring the soldiers.
You can't do it, mister. I don't know who you are behind that mask, but I'm telling you, the young soldiers are mad at everyone in town. No amount of argument will bring them here.
We may not take the time to argue with them. Come on, Tonto, I'll need you.
Hold on, wait. Who are you?
Him, Lone Ranger.
He said he became a scout. Easy, fella.
Come on,
the Lone Ranger. Sakes alive, the Lone Ranger.
Guided by the stars and moon, the Lone Ranger and Tonto rode west toward a remote valley that had always been the home of wild horses. When they reached the top of a hill on one side of the valley, they drew rein. They saw a small campfire, and nearby, lighted by the moon, the soldiers sleeping on the ground.
They've already captured a number of horses, Tonto. See them?
Captured horses on south side campfire.
Yes, that's right. They're tied to a line. The other horses are north of the fire, near the saddles.
Near where a soldier sleeps.
To the end of the valley, we'll cut to the left to keep as far from the men as possible. We must make sure we're ready to travel before we waken anyone.
Then we wake them plenty sudden.
I hope I can give a convincing war cry.
As silently as possible, the masked man and Tonto approached the string of horses that had been captured by Randy Blake and his pals. They made sure each horse was securely tied by a short length of rope to a long line that had been stretched between two trees. They then unfastened that line. Meanwhile, one of the soldiers wakened and nudged Randy. Hey,
Randy, wake up. Something's going on.
What's the trouble?
What is it, Hank? I heard stirring on the far side of the fire. Well, we're strung the horses we captured.
What's the talk about?
Hank thinks something's bothering our horses.
Huh? I can't see past the campfire very well. I'm going to walk over and take a look.
Hey,
what's that? Engines.
We got all the horses we found in the valley.
Come back here, you thieving critters.
Up and at them.
I'll give them something to think about.
Heading east.
I couldn't see him, but I heard him. It's engine.
We still have our regular horses.
Boots and saddles and make it quick.
In a matter of seconds, the soldiers were wide awake and on their feet. They saddled their horses, made sure they had ammunition and carbines. Then...
Let's go. Get
Ranger and Tonto, each leading a short string of captured horses, had made the most of their head start. They dashed up the hill, then leveled out at a fast pace straight toward the town of Morgan's Gap. Meanwhile, the son of Beaver and his followers approached the town from another direction. Night in Morgan's Gap, no one had slept. Ma Harris had spread the word of the impending attack. Pop Larkin, Josh Potter, every other man in town, including Banker Hawkins, was ready with old weapons to defend the town. It was nearly dawn when Pop rushed into the cafe.
They're here! Yes, you can hear them! They're circling the town, shooting fire arrows!
Come on, boys! It's time to do what we can!
Yeah, with you, Ma.
I got my flintlock ready!
Look out there, Ma! See the critters' arrows? There's one sticking in Tonto's roof.
Get some water to fight the fire out.
Organize the boat again.
Boys, bring anything that'll hold water. We gotta fight fire as well as redskins.
The Indians rode in a circle around the small cluster of buildings that made up the town and sent arrow after arrow blazing through the skies. Several buildings were on fire, but not yet out of control. Men and women alert and ready with water and mops and ladders put out most of the fires as soon as they were started.
My house is out of control. Let it burn and try to save the other.
You folks better stay close together. We'll make a stand in my cafe.
Each minute, the circle of hard-riding Indians grew smaller. Everyone knew that the fighting would soon be hand-to-hand. Then the women and older men would have no hope of winning against the strong young redskins.
All right, now is when we could use Randy Blake and his pals.
Mark, get inside your place. Stay out of the street.
Mind your own business, Larkin. I can handle a six-gun as well as the next man. There, I got one of the polecats.
You took two shots to do it. Any more saving than the cartridges.
Pop, I have no more to save. I'm out of ammunition.
Ma Harris stood gamely in front of the cafe, waiting with a carving knife in one hand and her empty six-gun in the other. The end, she knew, was close at hand. But like everyone else in town, she was determined to die fighting. Then suddenly a new voice rang above the Indian war cries.
Boys, look to the west! Those two men charging the Indians! And look beyond them!
Our soldiers! Look at them coming!
The Lone Ranger and Tonto charged at the Indians with guns blazing. In a moment, they had broken through the circle. Then the men in uniform came nearer. The Indians quickly realized that their superiority in numbers was far outweighed by the deadly accuracy and long range of the soldiers' rifles. Half a dozen Indians spilled from their saddles. The rest beat a hasty retreat.
Look at them run! Our boys showed them a thing or two!
Yeah! and his followers pursued the Indians a short distance, then drew rein and turned back toward town. Meanwhile, the Lone Ranger and Tonto examined the fallen Indians. Two were dead, the others merely wounded. The townspeople gathered around.
Mrs. Harris, do you mind if we move these injured men to your cafe?
Mister, anything you do is all right with me.
In a day or two, they'll be able to return to their village.
You think we should let them go scot-free?
No. Some of you should escort them to their village and make sure they and those who escaped are punished for their uprising.
Say, that's a good idea, Larkin.
Maybe the soldiers will do it for us.
Hey, speaking of the soldiers, here they come.
Randy Blake may have a score to settle, huh, Tonto?
Yeah, maybe him start war with us.
What's that? What do you mean by that?
Well, he and his men didn't come here to fight the Indians, Mrs. Harris.
No?
They came in pursuit of Tonto and me because we were running away with the horses they'd caught.
Randy, if you and your pals want anything, just name it.
That's right, Randy. You boys sure saved our neck.
You want jobs, I'll see that you have them. Men like you are needed to put the ranches back in shape.
Easy, boy. Thanks, all of you. First of all, I want to talk to that masked man.
Score to settle, I'm Blake.
You and that Indian friend. You made off with our horses.
Well, Randy, if I had told you these people needed your help in fighting Indians, would you have responded?
Well,
not by a jug full. You know we wouldn't have, Randy. We were mighty sore about the situation here in town.
Well, that's why Tonto and I made you think Indians had taken your horses. You came after us.
You sure led us a merry chase.
We left your horses at the edge of town.
We saw where you left them. But by that time, we saw what was going on here in town. We saw the roof of the old schoolhouse burning. We saw a couple of other fires. We saw these people, our people, fighting heavy odds.
So we sailed in.
And we licked the enemy.
When you men came here a few days ago, you were part of a brave but a defeated army. But now you men are victors.
Hooray for our fighting men! Hey!
It makes a difference.
Randy, Hank, all of you. Dead ratted, why don't you boys settle down? There's work to be done.
Ma, I don't know about the others. But I've come home this time to stay.
And that goes for me, too.
Otto, let's ride to McWally. We'll tell him the wounded men will be brought to him. And we'll see that Beaver's son prophesied lesson.
You're leaving us?
Yes, Ma. But we'll be back to see what sort of a place this town becomes when your fighting men lay down their arms and go to work.
Easy, city, be calm.
Easy, fella.
Randy, speaking of fighting men, that one riding away is the finest of them all. He's the Lone Ranger.
The girl stood petrified as the holdup men entered the bank. Manton shot one clerk and forced the others into a corner when the door burst open and the masked man stood in the entrance.
All right, get your hands up.
But the bandit leader was too fast. He grabbed the frightened girl and held her in front of him as a shield.
No!
All right, whoever you are, stand right there. You make a move and this girl dies. I mean it. One step forward and she dies.
The bandit inched towards the doorway, sure that the girl would ensure his getaway. He had stolen a fortune in money, and the theft of that money meant bankruptcy for an entire town. The Lone Ranger is in a helpless condition, yet only he may save the girl and the town. Be sure to listen to this next thrill-packed Lone Ranger adventure.
United States Armed Forces Radio Service.